get texts from my buddy quite often saying,
"Is he
God,
a Cowboys
I hate,
fan?
Yeah, God,
How?
I hate being a Cowboys fan." Yeah, that's what I keep asking him. He's like, "Hey, will you take my Cowboys card for me?" And I'm like,
"Yeah,
nah, dude."
Really? Well,
no.
Did you see what they said in the locker room? It was brutal. I mean, they just got, and again, this is the whole anonymous sourcing stuff always freaks me out. But Jane Slater seems to be pretty honest. But she said that the player said that the coaching staff is totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. And another player said they just aren't good at their jobs.
Yeah, I wonder what Jason Garrett thinks about everything that's going on in Dallas. I'm sure he's closely watching everything.
He has to be.
He's got to feel slightly vindicated. Also, do you remember after being hired in the introduction press conference, Mike McCarthy openly admitted that he lied in the interview?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a joke or if that was actually true.
It was bold. I mean, the ball's on that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he just cheated himself into millions of dollars. I cheated myself into A's in school, and this guy just cheated himself into millions of dollars.
Almost comparable.
Almost comparable. I think he probably is a little
Are
bit.
You the Mike McCarthy of school?
Probably. Welcome back to the Locker Room. I'm your host, Justin Reed, alongside Andrew Tenney. It is a beautiful, chilly October 22nd morning. Winter is on its way this weekend. I think we're getting an inch to 3 inches of snow on Friday.
Oh, are we actually? That's still a thing? We're on for that?
Yeah, we're on winter watch warning.
I could have gone with a couple more weeks of fall, personally.
Yeah, I know. I feel like we kind of got robbed there. Granted, last year it snowed a month ago.
Yeah.
Last year.
Also, all the trees still have their leaves. There aren't a ton of leaves on the ground.
Which is fine by me, because that means you just don't have to rake as much.
Nice.
I think that's a big plus. So, that's always nice.
Yeah, truly.
Do we have any fun things to go over before we really get into this?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure we could talk about Lucky Bird. I know that the people are dying to hear more about Lucky Bird. What do you have to say about
Lucky
Bird?
Lucky Bird is my favorite thing to talk about outside of sports.
Oh, did you want to do the ad read then?
No, it's all you.
Okay, perfect.
I like listening to you talk about Lucky Bird.
Okay, perfect. Well, we're going to do just that. As you guys know, Lucky Bird is a Spokane-based e-commerce and digital marketing company dedicated to helping local companies scale in the online world of e-commerce and digital marketing. So what we want you to do, we want you to visit LuckyBirdBrands.com to have a down-to-earth, no-pressure conversation about your digital marketing and e-commerce strategies today.
People talk about making your own luck. The best way to make your own luck is to use Lucky Bird.
Nice. There we go.
Right?
That hasn't been rehashed already. Good job.
That one's brand new.
That one's
authentic.
That one's
brand new.
Original.
It's true, though. Mm-hmm. It's 100% true. They are your digital marketing specialists, and I would highly recommend going to hang out with them, see what they can do for you. But people who aren't lucky are the coaches who got fired from their jobs in the NBA, so that's unfortunate. But there's three people who got hired this week, that are looking pretty interesting. You know, we have a new head coach of the Clippers, the Pelicans, the Pacers, all of which were just hired here in the last week. We'll start here with the Clippers, who of those three teams was probably the most desirable job, technically. And Tyronn Lue, back as a head coach. Doesn't have to worry about LeBron kicking him off the team. That's nice.
I don't know anything about Tyronn Lue and his merits as a head coach, though.
None.
Because he was just – I mean, he was going to the finals, but that was LeBron James.
That was LeBron's team.
LeBron was dragging the entire team, organization, coaching staff, everything. So I don't – and, we talked about this before, but, it was almost, finalized last year that he was going to be the Lakers head coach, except he wanted – the kind of money that a sort of coach that has taken their team to the finals and won the finals would want. But it's does he really warrant that sort of money? Do we actually know the specifics of the deal? I don't think I've seen anything about it, but I'm curious to see if they do finally release that.
Just at a five-year deal. I don't think there's any money involved.
Oh, they gave him some time. Well, it's going to be interesting, too, because this is the last year that Kawhi and Paul George are both under contract, and they can opt out afterwards. Yep. So that job could look tremendously different just a year from now.
Well, last year, it looks like he had a three-year, $20 million deal on the table. So I would have to guess it's at least in that ballpark, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, the biggest thing surrounding Ty Lue is he's a player's coach, right? That's the biggest thing. And LeBron actually respected him as opposed to one David Blatt. But what do you think? To me, this doesn't really change how I feel about the Clippers. I also don't know how I feel about the Clippers. We're going to see if they end up doing anything with Harrell and re-signing him. He was a DNP in that Denver series, and especially for the money that he was getting paid. as well. So I don't know. They got some moves to make. We'll see if they end up keeping Lou Will as well, who also just not great in the playoffs. Obviously, he gives you those numbers, but he's a complete liability on defense.
Yeah, I don't know if the Clippers change much with this move.
Right.
Lou, to me, isn't a game-changing hire. It's a safe hire, I think. Mm-hmm. I think the Clippers are looking at it. I think Steve Ballmer's looking at it like, this is a guy who's going to be a fun head coach to watch. He's going to be energetic, but he's not going to let things get in the way of their success. You know, he's not going to be the reason for that. But yeah, it looks like he is getting about $7 million a year. So I would say a 5-year, $35 million deal, which is pretty good.
Yeah, that is good.
But that's about what the Lakers were offering, which is interesting last year, 3 years, $20 million.
Just for a shorter deal.
For a shorter deal. So it will be interesting. That one was a probably the right move because he was an assistant on that team. So mm-hmm. It made sense for him just to slot right in. And then the next one, probably the most well-known of the three in terms of longevity, is Stan Van Gundy, who is just – he's bigger than his brother in terms of size.
He is larger. Yeah, what did you say? He's 5'8", 270?
5'8", 270. If that's not the stereotypical, like, prime spot for a man, I don't know what is.
True. That is peak
male performance. That is peak male performance. 5'8", 270, mark it down. That's what you want. But he is heading to the New Orleans Pelicans. Do we want to show off his
Yeah,
sick?
He also knows how to rock a snapback in a hoodie. We'll show you here. Boom! Ooh. New Orleans Pelicans, this is what you're getting. This is your head coach, and this is your future, your savior, hopefully. I actually don't know.
Is that
some people around the league actually have some like qualms with the hire and think that it's not great on paper because of the youth of the team and the generational gap because he's 61 years old.
He's older, yeah.
But one of the worst things about the Pelicans last year was their ability to play defense, of course, of which they had none.
Yep.
And he's always prioritized defense. I really don't know. Okay, so the Detroit stint was not great. There were a lot of personnel and contract things going on in Detroit to work past, and they just didn't have a lot of talent anyway, and it's Detroit. Like, just not a lot was going to happen there. You have an aging and decrepit Blake Griffin as your best player, and they weren't drafting guys well either, so I don't know how much I hold that against him. Obviously, he had all the success that he did with Dwight Howard, Jameer Nelson, Hedo Turkoglu, down in Orlando.
That name just always gets
I know. down in Orlando, getting them to the 2009 finals. But all I know is that he, at least from watching the broadcasts, and especially in the bubble with him being on TNT, he, as well as his brother, are beautiful communicators of the game. And at the very least, that's all that you can ask for in a head coach or in a leader of men or women or people in general. So I don't know. I like it on paper, but some people have pushed back on it.
It's a decent hire. It's another safe hire. It's a guy who you know what you're going to get with him. He's not going to change his philosophy. He's been around the league for a long, long time. But he gets a pretty solid core with Zion, Brandon Ingram, Jackson Hayes. In you know, technically they have Lonzo Ball and Josh Hart. Who looked better last year than they had probably and compared to any stop or any part of their progression so far. So that's something. And then looks like they also still have Jrue Holiday and J.J. Redick, both of whom who played under Van Gundy in Orlando. So he has, I think, the right backbone of this team. I think the foundation is solid. But I think the big part will be just able to convey a new-age message to guys who have been who are new age. You know, that core of Ingram, Hayes, and Williamson are young guys who have been brought up and probably new analytical thinking. And it just kind of depends on how Van Gundy can really get his message across without being stale, as well as, you know, being able to really, I mean, he needs to be more successful than he has been in his career. He's been a solid head coach, nothing spectacular. And it's, again, a safe hire probably.
Maybe he's taking the Mike McCarthy route and completely revamped the way that he sees the game. Taking an analytics approach and everything, and then, you know, we'll just completely forget about all of that once he actually gets the job. Also, now that he is back on an NBA team, that means that Jeff Van Gundy cannot leave the booth. I need at least one Van Gundy in the booth. Because his name has been thrown around the Houston job specifically over the last week. So, Jeff, do us all a favor. Do ESPN a favor. Just stay there with Breen. We can get rid of Mark Jackson, though. I'm good with that. Yeah, Mark Jackson drives me crazy.
Yeah, he's not great. He does have – he's interesting sometimes, but he's definitely the weakest of the three.
You go take that Rockets job, Mark.
Yeah.
How about it?
All you. And the last one that happened this week was Nate Bjorkgren, I think is probably how you pronounce that.
Everybody saw this coming.
Everybody knew that this guy was going to be the top of the list of the Pacers. Interesting thing about him is he has been – worked under Nick Nurse for years. He was in the G League. He has a decent reputation as far as a coach with no reputation would go.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something, I guess. It's definitely the least safest of the three, but in my opinion, probably has the highest ceiling. Only because I think you know what you're going to get with the Clippers. I think Stan Van Gundy is kind of a boring hire in all regards. The ceiling for Bjorkgren, because he is close with Nurse, is getting another Nick Nurse, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think – and that's a lot to ask for sure, but I think that's the ceiling. I think the floor is obviously a terrible head coach, and he's out and never gets a job again.
Yeah.
This hire is the has the largest range of outcomes, and I think
I would agree
it's the
with
most
that.
Interesting yes. hire of the
because
three. Because
of sure.
that.
Yeah, it's interesting. If the Raptors continue to have the success that they did last year and the year before, of course, under Nick Nurse, I'm curious to see as these head coaching vacancies pile up offseason after offseason, how many more assistants under Nurse end up getting opportunities like Nate.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that ends up being a theme – he might be the youngest guy to ever have grown his own coaching tree.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you had the Popovich. That's the biggest one in the NBA with the Brett Browns and all the people that have come under him. And mm-hmm. Becky Hammon, obviously, is always in discussions about becoming the first female NBA head coach. But, yeah, it's kind of interesting that he's already had an apprentice.
Sure. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that. Pacers also have a decent core and just probably need some more molding too. And when we're talking about these new age guys, Stan Van Gundy not being one of them, Bjorkgren has to be probably the newest of the new age guys just because of the fact that he is kind of growing up in this analytical age. So that would be my guess. I don't know if that's true, but I feel like that's probably the case just based off of his background. So the other interesting thing about the NBA is the Nuggets home arena, which has been the Pepsi Arena since it opened in 1999, is now the Ball Arena, which is
B-A-L-L?
B-A-L-L, yeah.
What is
it's Ball, if I remember right. So the Cronkites or the Cronk. Anyway, the one who owned the Rams, Steve, their family owns it's called the Ball Corporation, and they provide – like distribution and packaging for like home supplies, home goods. Like it's really weird, but they're like an $11 billion a year company. And so it's called the Ball Arena now. That's awful. Like Pepsi was cool because like Pepsi, like that's fun.
Right.
But Ball Arena is about as boring as it can get. So my question to you, specifically on that one, but in general on arena name changes, what are your thoughts?
Well, I understand why they happen, but I cannot recall one that changed and I actually preferred the new name in comparison to the old one. Obviously, like the T-Mobile Park versus Safeco Field.
Bad.
Safeco Field was superior.
Yeah.
I still prefer Quest Field to CenturyLink Field.
Yep.
But I mean,
I agree.
With all the success in the Carroll and Wilson era, I think that's kind of helped.
CenturyLink has definitely grown
right.
in familiarity because of that.
Right. University of Phoenix Stadium down in Arizona is now the State Farm Stadium, which I just saw in State Farm Stadium. I don't know. Too many S's
too many
and
S's.
T's.
Yep. This
yeah.
just doesn't flow well.
Typically, yeah. It's just not a great move. But obviously, the financial reasons are the ones making these moves.
The most creative name renaming of a stadium I've ever heard was down in Arlington for the Texas. They had Globe Life Park, and now their new stadium is New Globe Life Park. Like that's all that they did. That was the only change that they made.
I like that. I respect that.
I respect it too.
I respect that a lot.
Because Globe Life Parks is pretty cool. I do like that name. Probably what will go down as the worst named stadium in the history of all sports, which we have talked about already on the show, is the Seattle Kraken's new home arena, which used to be Key Arena, which was sweet. The colors worked out well with the red sitting on top. Now it's the Climate Pledge Arena. Sweet. Like that's super just smooth, rolls right off of the tongue, and God, it just really gets me going. I love that name.
I got nothing.
So thanks, Amazon, for that. That was really unfortunate. That kind of ruined that Key Arena for me. It's always going to be Key Arena, and it will continue to be Key Arena. But it is what it is, and hopefully the Seattle Kraken can bring a title back to C-Town, back to the Emerald City.
Nice.
Don't know if that'll happen. But
probably not.
Speaking of titles, the World Series is in their third, or will be in their third game moving forward. It is tied 1-1. The Dodgers took the first game 8-3, and the Rays.
Kershaw, man.
Kershaw finally actually. Kershaw
got it done.
Game.
Yeah, had a nice outing.
He was just getting raked over the coals for how his postseason performances, more specifically his World Series performance. And he actually put together a decent game. Which is nice to see. I like Kershaw. He seems like a nice guy. Just hang out with and have a good
my
time.
My heart hurts for that guy.
Yeah.
He's one of the saddest men in American sports.
Yep. No, I agree. And then last night, the Dodgers took more of a committee approach, started a reliever, and that kind of backfired. They were down 5-0, ended up losing 6-4. So the Rays tied up the series 1-1, which was, not surprising. I think the Dodgers are still a better team from top to bottom. But these Rays are going to make it interesting.
Yeah, I think so. I've watched several innings of World Series baseball and like intently, not like while I'm doing other things. Like my attention is on the TV, and I think that's been the pitching in this series is awesome.
Yeah, Snell looked really, really fun last night.
Right,
he's from Seattle, so that's pretty fun. Mm-hmm. But his slider was just wicked. I mean, even his curve, both of those pitches that he was tossing last night were just confusing the heck out of the Dodgers. He had 4 2/3 of no hit ball. I think he had 3 walks. But, the thing with the Rays is they always switch out their pitchers early on in the day.
It's something unique to them. That is really their approach to baseball, right?
And, yeah, I think Snell, through the first 4 innings, he has like a sub 1.5 ERA. And then after the 4th inning, he has like a 7 ERA over the last year. So I get why they're doing that, but it's very funky. Very, very funky.
Yeah, I do want to just touch on Pete Fairbanks, one of the relievers for the Tampa Bay Rays. He is a weird-looking dude. Probably the widest eyes that I have ever seen. He's really tall, lanky.
Yeah. Oh,
he's
boy.
Very awkward.
Oh, he was a Spokane Indian.
Of course he was.
Wow.
Oh, Jesus.
Interesting.
Like, put your eyes away. Just, like, chill a little bit. Okay, so you know how
bad.
Cody Bellinger, looks perma-fried?
Yeah.
He needs a little Bellinger, and Bellinger needs a little Fairbanks in their eye game, if that makes any sense.
That's quite the picture here. But, yeah, I didn't know he played for – that's interesting.
But he's impressive to watch throw the freaking baseball.
Yeah, he's
like
really
100 miles like up in the zone and painting the corners with that. It's like, oh, damn, dude.
He has a sub 3 ERA, 27 games. He started 2 games, probably some of that weird stuff that they do there. But, yeah, he played for Spokane back in 2015. Looks like he played in 13 games.
All right.
So that's something. But, yeah, it looks like he was with Texas last year, got traded after – ooh, he had a 9.35 ERA. But he is a very – odd-looking guy, to say the least. The Rays, this series has actually been pretty interesting, which is weird because the game one, I don't know if you saw this, game one of the World Series 2 nights ago was the least watched game one World Series of all time. Mm. I think they had like 9 million viewers or something like that.
Blame it on Buck.
Really blame it on Buck. I actually really like Joe Buck as a baseball announcer.
No, I do too.
Way
I think
more
he's great.
Than NFL. Yeah. Like, it's not even close. Mainly because I think Buck – I'm going to blame Aikman more on that one. I think Aikman sucks. But, so the one thing that's interesting about this series is, and one stat that came up is that both – speaking of Clayton Kershaw, he and Mookie Betts' contracts, their money combined is like $1 million short of the entirety of the Rays' budget, which I think is – this is literally the battle of David and Goliath, and it's just a matter of if the Rays have enough to pull it out, and I don't know if they will because of the fact that Mike Zunino is their starting catcher.
Yeah, that hurts.
And Chris Taylor is a starting player for the Dodgers, both former Mariners who were just
awful.
Not good. And I loved both of them. Zunino a lot. I really like Mike Zunino.
And they have the Superior Seager brother, right?
Yeah, they do. Speaking of the Superior Seager brother, he has 7 home runs this postseason. He's one shy of the all-time record for most home runs in one postseason. He is the better Seager. Kyle is also awesome. I really like, give me more Kyle Seager, but Corey is a stud. There's no other way to look at that. So that's been really fun to see. Game three is going to be key, though. In 1-1 series, 65 of the previous 94 times, the winner of game three has gone on to win the series. Do you know what percentage that is?
Sorry, did you just do math because I was not listening to you?
65 of the previous 94 times.
Ooh, I don't know. That's got to be close to like 70%.
More like 69%.
Literally,
it's 69%.
Ayo.
Baseball's doing it right. They know what they're doing with their percentages.
I know. Comeback tour for baseball. Also, with Game 3 being as pivotal as you just mentioned, the pitching matchup slated for Game 3 is Walker Buehler, and then is it Chris Morton?
Yep.
Charlie Morton.
Charlie Morton. Yep. You have the C, right?
Yeah, C-H. That's awesome. Good for baseball.
Yeah.
If I'm watching, I consider that a win for the MLB.
Maybe I won't tune in. Tonight's interesting because there's football on, but it's the Eagles-Giants, which is
god-awful. Oh, my God. We're going to get to that, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we will get to that. And then there's another presidential debate tonight, the final one, and then
I know what Vinny's doing tonight.
Yeah, our producer, Vinny, is back in studio, sitting right over there having a drink of water. He was very upset that he wasn't here last week after we gave him such a hard time for not being here, but he's back here rocking it.
And the Saints didn't even play this week, so I can't really talk.
Didn't even play this week, so we can't really talk too much about it. But we do get to pick them this week, so we'll see what happens there. If Vinny wants to not be here again next week, it might be your fault.
Okay,
there's a very solid chance.
I'll take responsibility.
So, we'll see what happens in the World Series moving forward. You had the Rays, right? You picked the Rays at the beginning. I think you did because I picked the Dodgers.
Did I?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure you did.
Sounds fake, but I will roll with that.
We'll go back and look, but I'm pretty sure you did pick the Rays. So that is baseball for you. Quick little update here on soccer. The Premier League is back. They've had a lot of problems with their money, but they are playing after they only got like a month off. They are back playing. Manchester City is, I think, third in the league, so that's sweet. The more important news is MLS has only like 8 games left, I think. Sounders sit atop the Western Conference with the top goal differential in MLS. So we'll see what happens with that. Playoffs are going to be here pretty quick, but they're looking good. What's really dumb, the Sounders starting forward, they had their international stuff happen over the last few weeks. Raul Ruiz Diaz got COVID while he was down in Peru.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, so he can't even come back to the States yet until he quarantines, and there's some all. And this was after MLS told the Central and South America, like, we really don't want you guys to take our players with everything going on. But they did, and he got COVID, and I'm pissed about it. That's what happens. That's what happens when you leave these great United States. You get COVID, I guess. I was going to go somewhere else with that. But
thank you for
We'll stay with that. Speaking of the great United States, we have some great companies here in the United States, specifically here in the Spokane, Coeur d'Alene area. Specifically, that is Lake City Hauling. Are you working on a remodeling or a cleanup project? Let Lake City Hauling help. Save yourself a stressful trip to the dump by letting them haul the small and big items for you. Lake City Hauling will remove it all. They'll take your unwanted trash, branches, yard waste, furniture, appliances, and everything else you could ever think of that you don't want, they will take. They offer same-day pickup, and check out all of their great reviews on Google and see why customers continue to go to Lake City Hauling for all of their hauling needs. They offer junk removal, dumpster rentals, and demolition in the Kootenai County area, including Spokane. So check and see if you are in there or if you are outside their area and see what they can do for you. Their phone number is 208-425-4130. Check out their website at lakecityhauling.com. Another awesome sponsor of the locker room, Lake City Hauling, who does it all. They haul it all. That's a great one.
I love you.
Let's chalk that one
up. Have I ever told you you're like the coolest person that I've ever met?
If I had a pen, I'd write that one down because that one I do want to use moving forward.
Yeah, I know. That was a pretty lengthy one. I can't imagine you'd be able to remember that off the top of your head.
No, I don't. But that's unfortunate. Here at the bottom, actually, of this sheet, I have our picks updates from a couple weeks ago, which reminds me that I destroyed last week in picks.
Yes. However, you left it to me to break down the picks.
That's
and
what happens.
Actually,
losers,
record them.
Losers have to do that. And I just knew I beat you, so I was like, Andrew, take the lead.
Yeah. So your boy went 7-7. Had a not great week. I'm salty about a couple of games. The Washington football team went for 2 at the end, which I'm thankful for because nobody needed to watch more of that game and see it go into overtime. Failed to convert. Let's see some Alex Smith again. I'm over the stress and anxiety. He already got hit like 25 times in that game against
the
Rams.
So that was unfortunate to watch.
I think we have a little confidence instilled in that leg, and Kyle Allen sucks. So
Kyle Allen did have a really bad
game. Let's see it. And we need storylines. We need more good, positive storylines. So Ron Rivera, do the right thing. Also, shout out to Ron for still continuing to battle his bout with cancer. That total football guy.
Some of the bad storylines, you're talking about more good storylines, but a really bad storyline, in my opinion, was the whole benching of Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua. I don't even know how to say his last name.
Tagovailoa.
That's actually a good attempt.
I know how to say it, but now that I'm in front of a camera, it just flew out of my head. But my friend sent me a meme, and it's Rick Ross trying to pronounce his last name. That's pretty great. Actually, I'm going to try to send
okay,
that to
here
me,
we,
but
oh no, it's Tagovailoa.
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 There's no N.
Yeah, but it says it right here.
This
is Sporting News. You don't trust him?
No.
What about SaturdayDownSouth.com? Sounds like a Saturday. Sounds like a nice Saturday.
I don't even know what that means, but
I don't know. It looks like it's a fan page for Alabama football. Yeah, I get that now. Saturday Down South, good. Alabama. Got it. No, so that was bad.
Was it?
It is. I love me some Ryan Fitzpatrick. That beard, that Harvard education, what can't you love about Ryan Fitzpatrick?
There's not a lot, but I mean...
He's a wizard. He literally produces magic.
Right. Nice. He had kind of a heartbreaking quote, too. I don't know. It was tough. He said that he was, devastated and heartbroken by the move. He said in his press conference to the media, "I basically got fired yesterday, and my day today consisted of Zoom meetings with the guy who fired me and sitting in a room with the guy who replaced me. For 4 hours."
That is brutal.
It's kind of a reminder. We lose sight of this, but if you were to compare professional sports as occupations and professions to other occupations and professions, this is a truly unique dynamic.
It is, yeah. That just doesn't happen.
Unless
you're prepared for it and you're retiring and you're training the guy who, they're like, you've been here for 45 years, Steve. It's time for you to leave. But we'd like you to stick around and train our new guy. That's a little bit nicer of a way to do it. Yeah, that is brutal. I don't think there's any other profession outside of sports where that happens, at least on a consistent basis, because this happens all the time.
Right, and he really thought that was his team. He really thought it was his team to carry, and they were doing well. And that's the other odd thing about the timing of this is that they just climbed back to a 3-3 record. They're second in the division.
Yeah.
And so by all accounts and what we or everybody thought Miami was or was not going to be this year, they're in a pretty good position, and it's obvious that they're well coached. I think it's safe to say that the Brian Flores hiring was the right one.
Well, they were good. They were not good. They were better than thought last year as well underneath Flores, because they were supposed to tank last year. They were supposed to tank, and they still ended up getting, Tua was the fifth overall pick. But was that based off of performance, or was that – anyway, they played much better than many pundits and fans thought that they would. I just don't know. Tua hasn't played a snap in over a year outside of last week. He hasn't commanded a starting team, and – I mean, I get it. He's the fifth overall draft pick. It's probably time in a normal circumstance for a guy to get some play. But not when you're starting quarterback. He has 10 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, completing over 70% of his passes. And like you said, I think he does have that locker room. I think that was his team. He talked about his heart hurting. And, I just felt so bad for the guy.
I did too.
He has played on, I think, the most – he's thrown a touchdown pass for the most franchises in NFL history. I think that happened. Something like that.
It's got to be him or McCown.
Something. Yeah, one of the two. And so, he's been around the block. He's used to bouncing from team to team. And to hear a guy who had – this has happened to him before.
Yeah.
This isn't the first time that Ryan Fitzpatrick has been benched, and yet this is the one that hurts his heart. And that made me feel really sad, because he's a guy you really want to root for. Same thing happened though to Kurt Warner back in the day, and Warner was like, "I've been there. I get what you're saying." And so obviously different circumstances, because Kurt Warner is a Hall of Famer and Ryan Fitzpatrick is a not a Hall of Famer, but Hall of Famer in fans' hearts.
In our hearts.
So I purely the decision to do it, I don't agree with.
So I think it comes down to a conversation of ceiling and floors. Is Tua's floor really that much lower than Fitzpatrick's? Because Fitzpatrick's floor is low AF.
Yeah. That's why he's been benched, and he's the journeyman quarterback.
And that's why he's fun as hell, because you don't know what you're getting from a week-to-week basis with Fitzpatrick. And you would think Although, again, yes, we have no proof of this in an NFL game situation, but you would think that Tua's ceiling is much, much higher. And you got to wonder if this was always the move, if internally within the organization that it was like, okay, week six, after week six, starting week seven, we're going to throw him out there. We don't know any of that. Who knows? After the season, we might find out more about internal discussions and whether this was intended from the beginning or not. But maybe Flores sees a team 3-3. He sees that they're second in the division, sees that the Bills have fallen off. Also, the Bills have played two really good teams in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But and wants to actually compete this season instead of just, you know, chalking this season up to, a rebuilding year. Yeah. And we're getting guys adjusted. And really next year is the year that we're going to try for it. So I think that that might be playing a part into this.
He better hope that Tua performs well. He doesn't have to be a great number five overall draft pick, but he needs to show development and progression. And the Dolphins need to continue to win football games because they are 3-3. They pushed Seattle to the fourth quarter.
Has anybody not pushed Seattle to the fourth quarter?
Well, yeah, but it was the Dolphins that did it, so that's a little bit of a bigger deal.
Okay, so the Falcons did too. Also, no, the Cowboys did.
The Seahawks. Well, that was with Dak though.
Okay.
The Cowboys have pushed everyone.
Fine.
All right. And the Seahawks beat the Falcons by more than two scores. Just happened that it took us a second to get there, but no, I just don't think it's the right move at this moment. We'll see. I mean, again, like you said, they are a pretty well coached football team, it appears. So maybe Flores does know what he's doing, but we'll see. It'll be fun this weekend to see Tua actually take a starting snap for the first time in a long time. In other news, this just happened this morning. Yannick Ngakoue was traded from the Vikings to the Ravens for a third-round draft pick and a fifth-round draft pick, which recoups most of the trade value that they lost in acquiring him from the Jags. I think they sent a second and a fifth to get him this offseason. Alongside that, Danielle Hunter, who we've talked about actually multiple times on the show, around the Vikings because he's one of the top pass rushers in the league when healthy, is now out for the year as well. So the Vikings, who are at 1-5, now are down both their top pass rushers. Their season's over. They're not playing to win now.
And you look at Kirk's contract and all the money that he takes up on the salary cap, and it's like, oh, we have almost no flexibility when it comes to the offseason trying to get free agents because we're paying Kirk, and Kirk is
not playing well.
Probably
the worst he's ever played.
In terms of,
because even when he played at Washington, he was a pretty darn good quarterback.
He was controversial, at least, because he showed enough glimpses of promise and, ability to play.
Which is unfortunate, because I really
NFL
like
quarterback.
Him.
Yeah,
I
too.
Really
well,
like
I don't
Kirk
know
Cousins.
If I really like – he's kind of Russell Wilson-esque in, like, he's a square.
He is a little square.
And I don't think he's interesting or
he's
ever
not that
offers
interesting.
Anything.
That's why that whole video of you like that when he was leaving the game, like,
which
was a
awesome.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, whoa, he did something
even
with the emotion.
Still sounded corny as hell coming out of his mouth. Yeah,
it really did. But that, the Ngakoue trade to the Ravens makes them very dangerous on defense, more dangerous than they already had been.
Reunion of Calais Campbell and Yannick Ngakoue.
Yeah, and that Jags defensive line when they both were there was scary. And so that defense is one to watch. Especially it's important that their defense gets better because their offense hasn't looked nearly as dynamic and explosive as they had the last couple of years with Lamar Jackson at the helm. But it's Lamar Jackson, and his running ability can take off and make that offense dynamic and exciting at any point. Also this morning, another Ravens headline is that Dez Bryant will probably sign on their practice squad. He hasn't taken an NFL snap in 3 years. The X-Factor.
Mm-hmm.
X-Factor, Dez Bryant is back in the league. I don't like the guy. That was a touchdown, though, back in the playoffs. That was definitely a touchdown. But I don't like Dez Bryant. I think he's going to be washed up. He hasn't played in 3 years, and he was never – the most athletic guy. Like, he was never a speedster. He was physical, but he's not a guy who's going to beat you with supreme athletic ability, in my opinion.
You know, I feel like we have a laundry list of all the guys that you don't like across sports. Why don't we start a list of guys that you actually do like? Maybe that would be a shorter
list. I like Russell
list.
Wilson.
Of course you do.
I like Peyton Manning.
Boring.
He's retired. I like Peyton Manning.
Okay,
he's also decently boring.
Also boring.
But he is funny. I think he would be awesome in a –
he's funny not in the Nationwide. Is that his – with the Brad Paisley?
Yeah,
is
the
that,
jingle. Doo, doo. Yeah,
definitely. Those are not funny. Those
what?
Are actually awful.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
those
so you're
are
wrong.
Terrible.
You're wrong.
I'm not going to sit here and break down comedic value to you.
So
which is subjective anyway, but –
100% objective. Sure. So that'll be an interesting move to see what Dez Bryant is able to offer that team, though, because they don't have any wide receiver threats, though. So that is one thing to look at. Hollywood Brown really hasn't done much for them. All they have is tight ends.
Yeah, pretty much. Also, to finish this off, now that I mean, I could have let this just slip away, but I'm going to do you a little bit of a favor here. You went 10-4 in comparison to my 10-7.
Yep.
Or sorry, my 7-7. So you now currently are 3 games ahead of me.
You bet.
You got a little bit of a cushion.
I do.
How does it feel?
It's awesome.
Is it?
Oh, I'm just literally destroying you. Okay. There's no doubt in my mind that I would be leading like this whole year.
Okay.
Because have you led me, or have we just tied?
Tie was the closest thing that I've experienced.
I've led the entire year. I've never relinquished my lead, so I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to play it safe. I have no need to go crazy. And you said you're going to play it safe, but you have to go a little crazy.
Hey, man, you can't win games in the first, second, or third quarter, right?
Yeah, we're midway through the season almost, so fair enough.
I know, I'm close enough. I'm sticking around.
We are just in the second quarter. All right, you want to get to picks? Was that your way to start talking about picks?
Yeah, kind of. Do you have anything else?
I have one more thing.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
We have two more things.
All right,
two more
give things. It to me. Damn.
Well, we're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers here, mainly because he has this funny video that I also, when I first saw it, I was like, this guy is still a douchebag. But the background of the video is actually pretty funny. It took me a while to realize what he was doing. But they got smashed also, by the way.
Yeah.
And so after the celebration, I think they got outscored like 28-0 or something. But here he is doing a nice celebration after a touchdown.
And a flag comes in at the end.
Camera.
This is a really soft spike.
Oh, there's a pump. There's another pump.
I can't imagine if that's going to be. I don't know.
A double pump.
I don't know what that
then, then they get a flag. So,
you really, when you first saw that, you didn't understand what
was
happening?
No, I didn't at first. I think because I didn't see that camera angle, that the way that they swooped in like that made it feel very much like the skit. And so if you don't know what that is and you just thought Aaron Rodgers we're not live. Are we live? That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. So you're watching this as a replay, and that's fine. So that actually just threw me for a loop there. That really threw me off. I don't know why that just hit right
there. I'm not sure either.
But something just hit me there. So so Aaron Rodgers, that is the Hingle McKringleberry move right there, the double pump. If you haven't seen that video by Key and Peele, I highly recommend you do that because that video is hilarious.
All right, I got to take.
Oh, God.
Key and Peele is just a worse version of the Chappelle Show.
Maybe.
That's all I got.
Maybe.
That's all I got.
You got some noise back there from the producers.
I know.
I'm curious to hear what they have to say later. I'll have to remember to bring that up. Okay, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. So the last one happened yesterday with a report from Adam Schefter that the Seahawks were interested in Antonio Brown, not for the first time in the last year or so. But I picked him up on my fantasy team. Again, I can't get away from him. I had him on my team last year. I drafted him last year. This year I picked him up in free agency.
Yeah, we're
going
to have an intervention
I think I just really am just in love with Antonio Brown, which is not the right person to really be infatuated with. But
no.
I'm hoping he takes me to fantasy football glory. I currently don't have a kicker on my roster because I needed to drop somebody, and kickers are the most safe bet with things to drop. But the Ravens already said no. They were asked about it, I think, today, and they said no. So instead they signed Dez Bryant. Is Antonio Brown going to play a snap this year?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's more likely than less likely.
It's week 7. He comes
well,
off
he doesn't
suspension
even get
next week.
Reinstated until after week 8. So
yep.
Week 9 would be
would
his
be the first
week
time.
Eligibility.
Will he play by week 12?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I also agree. He's too good of a talent. If they can confirm that the NFL won't suspend him this year, someone will sign him just because it's Antonio Brown.
Also, if we sign him, my only question is, can he rush the passer?
Yeah. Well, they moved this.
Yeah, Stephen Sullivan.
Yeah,
great.
This
is okay. So usually we did that inversely, and we would take defensive tackles and defensive ends and convert them to offensive linemen.
Yep.
Now that our defense is what is absolutely awful and holding our team back, and our offense is actually competent, we're flipping it back the other way.
We're taking
a tight end slash wide receiver, and we're trying to make a defensive end out of him. Because guess what? That's what he played in high school, and obviously, whatever you play in high school is what really should become in the NFL.
Yeah, well, to be fair, they did draft him. It was a little bit of a surprise because we didn't need another big body like that, especially since we already drafted a tight end earlier in that draft. So maybe this was the goal all along, because he hasn't played yet. So maybe this has been maybe it's been the goal. We'll see what ends up happening there.
Did you see Malik McDowell got signed?
Did he actually?
Yeah, and I was like, ouch, that hurts. I was really excited about him, and then it just never happened.
Oh, he was in for a tryout.
Oh.
Yeah, not signed yet, but okay. For the Dolphins.
Fins up.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll have to keep an eye on that. That was very unfortunate. All right, we can get to picks now.
Can we definitely get to picks?
We can get to the thing I'm winning. But I'll we have a sweet game tonight. I'm so pumped to watch the awesome NFC East with the two best teams in the league. The Giants at the Eagles at Lincoln Financial Field in Philly.
You know what you understand the Eagles have nobody. Like, their entire team is injured.
You know what I should start doing?
What should you start
doing? I'm going to let you pick first every single time, and I'm just going to pick the same teams. The whole year, and I'll win by three.
I would actually respect that. I wouldn't even be mad about that.
It's like, sorry, I drive this, so I'm gonna let you go, and I'm just gonna pick the.
That's just a tactical approach on your part. I can't really fault you for that.
But yes, the Eagles are very injured. That is true.
And I still like the Giants easily could have lost that game to Washington last week. I'm gonna go with the Eagles.
I wanted to go with a different team. I'm gonna go with the Eagles too.
Okay.
I think. The
also, they've been like sneakily competitive in their last two games against Pittsburgh and then against the Ravens. In both of those games, guys are dropping passes. Like, I'm not out here trying to defend Wentz, and I probably never will, barring some, I don't know, miraculous turnaround on his part. But his receivers and his running backs are dropping huge plays for him, and that has been a reoccurrence over the past couple of weeks.
And
so you can't fault him on those.
Yeah,
well, they have injuries all across there too. But yeah, so for all of those reasons, I'm going to pick the Eagles.
Yeah, that's just how bad the Giants are. Then we have the Lions at the Falcons, which actually, in theory, should be a decent game.
My Lions came through for me last week after I finally abandoned the Jags. I'm going to go back-to-back Lions weeks.
Atlanta's offense has looked good. Their defense
has looked good.
It's at home. I have Stafford on my fantasy team, and I'm starting him this week against the Falcons. It's going to be a shootout, and eventually the Falcons will have to do something decent. I think they have more playmakers on offense. I think Detroit's defense is better. I'm going to pick the Falcons.
Okay.
Surprisingly.
Thank you.
Then we have the Browns at the Bengals. Battle of the Orange Teams.
Boy, the Bengals ripped. They were in cruise control in that game last week.
Yeah.
And then the Colts and Phillips' bum arm just clawed their way back.
Yeah,
and the Browns looked absolutely abysmal.
This happens every single year. And I knew that. I said this two or three weeks ago. Everyone's talking about how great the Browns are. And I said, I don't trust Baker Mayfield. I don't trust this Browns team.
Mm-hmm.
And what do? They suck. They're not good. They're not going to make the playoffs. Especially not because they play in the NFC North. The Steelers and the Ravens will make the playoffs, and the Browns won't be good enough to get that second wild card spot.
Yeah, it's going to come down to like them and the Raiders, and I don't even know who else. Who knows? Miami might be in the mix down the road.
Wait, who'd you pick?
I haven't picked anybody yet. Okay, I'm going to go with the Browns just because I think the Bengals are just awful.
Yeah, and Joe.
I don't want to. Like, I would love to see Joe Burrow get a win against Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, so would
I would love
really
that.
Would like that.
But I mean, the Browns can still run the ball, and it's not like the Bengals have a stellar defense to stifle any sort of run attack. So I gotta go with Cleveland.
Yeah, Mixon is questionable for the Bengals as well after picking up that foot injury during the game. He did return, but he has been questionable this year. I'm also gonna pick the Browns. I don't love that pick, but. Yeah, I think Hunt will have a decent game against the Bengals. Then we have the Steelers at the Titans. This is a really, really good game.
This is a coin toss, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be. I'm going with the Steelers. They've just been impressive.
They've been very impressive.
I don't know. Something's got to give, though. I mean, the Titans are absolute red zone savants, man. Arthur Smith, he's probably going to get a lot of looks as a head coach come this offseason. But both teams are cooking right now. I don't know. This is probably the sexiest matchup of the week.
Yeah, probably. And I really want to pick the Titans, but the Steelers have looked very good. Deontay Johnson should be coming back from injury for like the third time this year. Tennessee's tight end, Jonnu Smith, is also coming off of an ankle sprain. Derrick Henry's played really well, but I think the Steelers have the defense to be able to slow him down, and that's the key.
And the Titans' defense hasn't been great either. Also, they kind of eked out that game last week against Houston.
They should have lost.
Yeah, they really should have. So, yeah, give me Pittsburgh.
I also want to pick the Steelers, unfortunately, but I think they're a better team. I think the Steelers are second or third. They're arguably the best team in the AFC.
Yeah,
you could argue
so.
That. It's the Ravens, Steelers, and the Chiefs, who are the top of the AFC. Mm-hmm. Then we have the Panthers at the Saints.
So, contrary to what you might expect is about to come out of my mouth, I'm going to go with the Saints.
Yeah, Saints too. Mike Davis has filled in really well for the Panthers. Former Seattle running back, former Niners running back as well. And Teddy Bridgewater has done enough. He's been safe with the football, made enough plays. But I think that Michael Thomas is questionable as well. That's the rough part. If Michael Thomas plays, the Saints offense gets much better. If he doesn't play, they're going to have to be playing kind of cruise control and throw it to Kamara every single play. But the Saints are better than they're playing, in my opinion, and I am also going to pick the Saints.
That's true, and if that's the case, which most people think that it is, I'm still a little hesitant to jump on that bandwagon and agree with you, but if that's the case, then these are the kinds of games that the Saints should win. So, by way of that, Saints.
Then we have the Bills at the Jets, and I'm going to pick the Bills, and because the Jets are god-awful and have a very realistic shot at going 0-16.
Yeah, they do. And the Bills need to bounce back like nobody's business. So, this is an easy pick.
It could get really ugly in that game. Then we have the Cowboys at the Washington football team. The NFC East is far and away the worst. Could be one of the worst conference division years.
It's a joke.
In history.
Like, they should implement a rule mid-season that says actually nobody division winner does not get into the playoffs.
I saw something pretty funny. They said take an all-star team of the NFC East and let them go to the playoffs.
Sure,
they'd still lose.
Even that, right? The Cowboys ellipses question mark.
Yeah, I think. See, again, Dallas is still a decent football team, and they should be better than they are.
Also, why are they not passing the ball more and on earlier downs, letting Andy Dalton get into the flow of it instead of giving it to Zeke, who's going to drop the ball because apparently he fumbles all the time now? Why are you stubbornly running the ball when easily the best part of your offense
right now
are your wide receivers? You have all of them. All of them are healthy. Your line is in shambles. Get the ball out quick. Get it out early. Let Andy Dalton kind of get into a rhythm of sorts and see how that goes, Mike.
Well, the Cowboys, if I remember right from that broadcast, lead the league in yards after the catch.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's the game that said that.
That sounds right.
If that's the case, then why aren't you getting the balls into your
hands? There's no good
reason. Then I'm also going to pick the Cowboys. Just because Washington is just not good still. Then we have an interesting game, the Packers at the Texans.
Is it that interesting?
It can be. If Deshaun Watson plays like he did last week, if Deshaun Watson plays at the level that Deshaun Watson can play at consistently, this Texans football team will have a chance to win every single game. Problem is, he wasn't like that at the beginning of the year, but he has been the last few weeks, and they should have beaten the Titans.
He's also never put in great situations as a quarterback, to be honest. I mean, out of all of the elite or top 10 quarterbacks, he is consistently put in less than optimal football situations.
They traded away his best wide receiver before the year.
Right, which was an obvious move. I'm going to go with the Packers, though, especially after, just the beatdown that they took from Tampa Bay, and Aaron came out and said, hey, we were feeling ourselves a little too much. This is good. Check. And it's like, okay, well, you were also kind of the one that was blowing smoke up your own ass and your team. What, for good reason, too. I mean, they had the best offense at that point. But, the Packers, the Texans. The Texans are the Vikings of the AFC, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. I really want to pick the Texans because I would love to see the Packers lose again. But the Houston defense has not been the Houston defense of the last few years. And for that reason, I'm going to pick the Packers. Devontae Adams should be back and healthier than he was last week. And I just don't see it happening for Houston in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Not again. I mean, that was a pretty brutal loss that they had, which could be a reason that they might have a really good game. But I'm still going to pick the Packers. Then we have the Chiefs at the Broncos.
Chiefs, the Broncos had a kind of impressive showing against. They didn't score a touchdown, and Drew Lock threw two picks, I believe, but still were able to not let New England do anything offensively, which was impressive. The Chiefs.
Chiefs are going to win this
game.
Yeah, Chiefs are going to win this game. They're the better football team.
They're going to lose just because that was such an easy pick. That's what happened. We did that with Las Vegas a couple weeks ago with the Chiefs. Sorry, Chiefs. Sorry, Andy Reid. Sorry, Pat.
Yeah, our mistake there.
Yeah, but Chiefs anyway.
Then we have the Niners at the Patriots.
Why don't you go first on this one?
I am going to go with Raheem Mostert just went on injured reserve, so Jerick McKinnon will be taking the majority of those snaps. Jimmy Garoppolo looked better, but not good. A full week of practice for the New England football team will lead to a win for the Patriots.
Okay, I'm going Niners.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm decently confident in my decision.
Okay, I'm less so now. To be honest, I had forgotten that Mostert went on IR. But it really doesn't matter
the way that they scheme runs
and everything. And they were able to neutralize Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald was a non-factor in that game.
Which was weird.
What team has ever done that or been able to
not
say
the Seahawks.
That
that's for damn sure.
Yeah.
Seahawks can't do that. Then we have the Jags at the Chargers.
All right. I love this.
I wish Minshew plays better. I hope that he plays better. But Herbert's looked pretty good, and I think I'm going to pick the Chargers.
Yeah, I think the Chargers are finally going to break through. I think Herbert's finally going to get his first NFL win. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's about time.
The Chargers, just overall, they have a better roster.
They do. They have a roster that should win more football games.
Right.
Then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Las Vegas Raiders.
Boy, I'm really tempted to go to Las Vegas. I think they're sneaky, fun, and frisky, and competitive.
Yeah, I also am kind of leaning towards
that. We also saw that nobody can run the ball on Tampa Bay. So,
no.
I mean, that's kind of the claim to fame right now for Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Bucs.
With the Bucs too. Brady's looking, again, decent this year, and that running game with Ronald Jones has looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Godwin should be back. I think Mike Evans will be back. They might actually have a full offense for the first time this year. So I will, too, pick the Buccaneers. Then on Monday Night Football, actually a pretty solid game just based off of what the Bears have been able to do. Bears at the Rams.
Yeah, the Monday Night matchups have actually been
pretty good so far. This is another good one, yeah.
Yeah, Thursday night, not so much. But yeah, this was kind of a toss-up for me too because I could see pathways for both teams finding a win in this game. But I think I'm going to go with the Rams just because they were embarrassed. They were absolutely belittled and they couldn't do anything. And I don't know. Their defense is more than competent, obviously, and I just don't trust Foles in that Chicago offense.
Yeah, I really want to pick the Bears. I've picked the Bears, I think, the last 2 weeks, but it will not be 3 weeks in a row. I will pick the Rams, too.
Sorry, AJ.
At home. Yeah, sorry, AJ. That one was on me. But I think the Bears just don't have quite enough offensive firepower to hold up against the Rams, who will have, I think, a better day at home than they had last week. And that brings us to the final game of the week that happens at 1:05 kickoff on Fox in the State Farm Stadium in Glendale. That is the Seahawks at the Cardinals, and I'm going to pick the Seahawks. Surprise, surprise. But I think the reason for that, they are a better team than the Cardinals, but they're going to struggle containing that Cardinals passing offense because of the fact that DeAndre Hopkins has looked pretty good this year. Christian Kirk is healthy. And they have just been able to play pretty well. But, also the problem with Kyler Murray hasn't really thrown great balls this year. A lot of the damage that Hopkins has done has just been the volume of catches that he has caught. Their running game with Kenyon Drake I don't think is very good. Kenyon Drake had a good game, but it's the first good game he's had all year. Part of that has to do with that, I think it was a 69-yard touchdown run that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And Arizona's defense, Patrick Peterson looks a step slow this year. I think the Seahawks will be able to exploit that secondary. I also think their defense in general just isn't very good. So I think the Seahawks win, and I'm also decently confident in that.
Okay, so Sam wrote it down. We have it on record that I, last week, took the bye over the Seahawks. So now, this week, coming off of the bye, is when you'll actually see that unfold. With that being said, I'm going to go with the Cardinals.
Oh, wow. All
so, right. Obviously, we had no pass rush.
All right, so
right?
I'm looking for a new co-host, one who actually believes in the Seahawks. No,
what? I picked them,
no,
what,
I know,
five
I
times?
Know, I know.
That's pretty That's good. Right. I mean, I'm usually pessimistic as it comes to them and their prospects as a contender in the NFC, but Kyler Murray is going to have 60 seconds to throw every down. And then once we do finally collapse the pocket after 5-6 seconds, I mean, he's just going to run around. And they're coming off a bye week, obviously. Arizona's on a roll coming off a huge like a slaughtering of Dallas on Monday night. They're hot right now. Seattle is not, and also has not looked great in their last game that they did play, which was now 2 weeks ago. It does. I don't know. This seems to me like an easy. I don't even know if you could coin it a trap game, because I think they're at San Francisco next week. But yeah, no, not super confident or optimistic about the outlook this week. So
I think
give me the Cardinals.
As long as the Seahawks take care of the ball, yeah, they do play at home against San Fran. Looks like it'll be the game of the week on Fox. But I think the important part for the Seahawks is to protect the football. We'll see if Snacks Harrison is able to play. I'm not sure. He's still kind of questionable getting into football shape. Jamal Adams also is questionable with that groin injury. I don't think he's practiced so far this week outside of some minor running. So we'll see. That'll be a big loss if they aren't able to get him back this week. I think everyone else is decently healthy, though. Jordan Brooks, I think, has been practicing as far as I know, but I have not seen the practice report. So it should be a good game. Seattle does fare very well in Glendale. They haven't lost there in 8 years. It's one of these weird matchups where Seattle loses at home to the Cardinals every year, and then they beat the Cardinals on the road every single year. So eventually that will stop, but I don't think that will stop yet. Moving on to our final two segments of the show, we have our jabronis.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
Yeah, so I've kind of twisted the definition of a jabroni this week because it's kind of in this way, I think it's a term of endearment. Like, I think this is a nice jabroni move.
What a jabroni.
It's kind of foolish. It's kind of silly, but ultimately I like it. I dig it. So Trent Brown,
I saw this last night.
Tackle for the Las Vegas Raiders. Vinny's going to pull up some pics here, and we're going to zoom in on his tattoo.
Yeah, this was hilarious.
It's very interesting.
Just looks like a big old boy there.
There's an arm. There's an arm again. And then, oh my gosh, there's an arm. So what we see is what I would assume is a more jacked version of himself and a couple of fine women surrounding his midsection. And I just like the way that, because I'm making an assumption here, but that this is how he views himself versus, I mean, there are men and women out there that love teddy bears. It's a thing, and he is a teddy bear. However, on his arm, he is depicted as a James Harrison type. But I just think this is a flex. This is a boss move.
Is that a number on his bicep there?
Yeah, I couldn't tell what it was.
Vinny, what can you tell what number
it was? Probably
that
like
is
the area code in which he grew up.
That's what I'm curious.
Dominican Republic. Whoa.
Huh.
Oh,
okay.
Not even close. Okay.
That did not look like 244 to me. Angola? Is he?
I don't know.
I don't know what that means. Is he from Angola? What's his name? Trent Brown?
Okay, so we have unsuccessfully deciphered the meaning of the number on the arm of his arm tattoo.
That's not his weight either.
No.
He's from Georgia, went to Florida. I don't know what that means. Huh.
Yeah,
that's the $1 million mystery. You find that out, you get $1 million from somebody, not from me.
Personal investigators.
No, not great at all. But that's hilarious.
I love it.
I saw that last night, and I was like, that's probably one of the best tattoos I've ever seen.
Also, shout out to Big Cat for actually like noticing that, breaking it down, and making that a thing, and making that aware. Aware of it on the internet.
I wonder if anyone's going to ask Trent Brown about his tattoos now.
Oh, I'm sure.
I hope so. If I was a media member, I would definitely be like, hey man, what's going on with your tattoos here? It looks like people are talking about it on Reddit. It doesn't look like anyone's ever really talked about it. That's hilarious. That did make me laugh. I'm glad that got out into the public sphere once again. All right, I have mine. This one I just saw last night during the World Series. This guy caught a home run ball.
This was going to be my backup one. I'm glad that we got
back to the home run.
He makes a pretty good catch here. Like, leans back, catches it, he's celebrating. He's going to throw the ball back. Nope, there goes the glove.
What?
What's his whole aesthetic, too?
He's just a weirdo.
And he's got Rosarena, like I'm sure, is as confused as the rest of the world. He caught the ball. He kept the ball. Throws his glove onto the field in a moment of sheer ecstasy. And then gets it back, I guess. Let's go back to the home run.
I believe. Watch how he throws his glove. He is obviously right-handed, to be fair. He limp wrist.
What? I feel like I'm looking at 2004.
Let's go back to the home run.
Literally, I mean, what is he? If you're going to throw something on national television, at least do something better than that.
What?
Come on, man. That is my jabroni.
Rosa
the fact that He made a great catch, and he was going to be a highlight. Like, everyone's going to be like, dude, sick catch. And all of a sudden, he just limp wrists his toss.
I actually feel like that guy is an entire mood, as the kids would say.
Do you think he did that on purpose? Like, do you think he did that knowing
he... It looked like it, because when it flew off, he wasn't like, oh, shit. It was more like, yeah.
Like, look at me. I just tossed my glove. Nobody does that. And then he was, like, immediately on his phone, like, hey, guys.
And now we're here talking about him on a massive show that so many
people
watch.
The only continuous sports talk show in Spokane.
That's right.
It is. It's the biggest show in the second largest city in the state of Washington.
You're goddamn right.
So bring it on there. Closing time. I will let you take the first honors.
So I got this notification that was a reminder of a boxing card that's coming up here late November or sometime in November.
Yeah, I think late
November. Of course, Mike Tyson headlining that. But I forgot that Nate Robinson was, first of all, boxing, and then second of all, boxing Jake Paul. I love it. It's awesome. I might actually pay for this fight if I can't legally stream it.
Is what I saw.
Okay. Might still look at Reddit for leaks and streams and
probably
things
a,
of that nature.
A good
but
chance.
Anyway, what do you think? What does that make you think or feel when you see that Nate Robinson will be fighting Jake Paul?
Well, Jake Paul's 6'1". Nate Robinson is 5'9". So that's a 4-inch difference. That's a pretty sizable difference. And I know their reach has to be. I feel like Nate Robinson actually might have longer arms than his body. Because he's a good dunker and a good basketball player, so I would assume he's probably pretty decent in terms of arm length. But, no, it's exciting. I'm really excited to see Tyson back in the ring, mainly because as our age of people here, we never saw him live. So, like, that's going to be sick.
You've seen his workout videos, too, and it's like, oh, my Jesus.
I saw him in the Hangover. He had that sick right hook. Like, I know he still has it. He still has it for sure. But he's playing. He's boxing a guy who was ranked as the top boxer in the 90s by Ring Magazine. So he's not like he's just going to box some slouch. But this guy is smaller than Mike Tyson, and he's not Mike Tyson. So I'm hoping to see a little bit of 80s Mike Tyson. But, again, that was 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm. God.
But, yeah, this is going to be sick. I'm actually really excited for that card. I think it is about a month from today-ish. Yeah. I think it's in the 20s. So that'll be fun. Keep an eye out. We'll probably bring that up again when that gets closer because that will be really fun TV to see. All right, my closing time. Last thing of the show. I can't go a week without talking about LeBron James. So here's another LeBron James little factoid that I saw floating around social media. Actually, I saw this on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I saw it everywhere.
Social media?
Yeah, everywhere on social media. So someone decided to – this was Sporting News who put up this little graphic and comparing the two champions of the basketball leagues, the NBA and the WNBA, and probably the top two players in their respective sports this generation, I would say.
I was going to ask you about that. I mean, I don't have the best knowledge, admittedly, about the WNBA, but isn't Diana Taurasi in that conversation?
So
and
she's
Maya
definitely,
Moore
they're
as
definitely
well?
In that conversation, I think, because of Sue Bird's
longevity
accolades and longevity,
too?
Both.
Okay.
Both. But yeah, let's pop that graphic up one more time because then we'll break down exactly what it says. So they both have played for 17 years, both have won 4 championships. Then it gets into some really interesting stuff. So Sue Bird makes per year $215,000 a year. LeBron makes almost $40 million. And for winning the 2020 title, Sue Bird had a bonus of just over $11,000. And I can't see LeBron's there, but I know it looks like in the $240,000 range, which is a little bit more than $11,000. But one thing that really got me a little worked up about this entire thing is – sports media companies go out of their way to design these graphics and plaster it everywhere, like I said. And people who have no idea how sports and how basic business works. The economics behind these decisions, because it's not an apples-to-apples comparison here. Sue Bird is not LeBron James. The WNBA is not the NBA. It has nothing to do with the fact that Sue Bird is a woman. It has everything to do with the fact that the WNBA makes a tiny amount of money compared to what the NBA brings in. And that is the exact reason why the whole argument about the U.S. men's national team and the U.S. women's national team, because the U.S. women's national team, everyone agrees, is better in terms of their success on the field. But the world doesn't watch them like the world watches the NBA. Because outside of the United States, the NBA is actually pretty popular. It's seen all over Europe. It's seen all over China, all over Japan now with Rui Hachimura being here. And That's the reason why. Nobody watches the WNBA outside of the United States. And the NBA, I would like to look at their revenues, but I guarantee you it is leaps and bounds higher than the WNBA. Does that mean that Sue Bird is valued less? I don't think so. I don't think that's the way to look at it. Because, I mean, I value Sue Bird. Like, we talked about it on the show. Like, I don't watch the WNBA. But that doesn't mean that I don't appreciate her greatness.
Mm-hmm.
So my closing time mainly is just to people who post these things and design these graphics purely to, I think, distract from the actual issues as well as the actual facts. Mm-hmm. Because the facts are not what that shows. I know that's the number of, you know, the numbers are real, but I think it's just really annoying to me when and then people hop on board and share and be like, this is so unfair. And it's like, you don't understand basic business.
The reasons behind the numbers shown.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's mine. It's a very interesting discussion, a very interesting topic. But unfortunately, Sue Bird and LeBron James just are not on equal footing in terms of their pay structure. And that is not because of the sexist leagues or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So that was my closing time.
Very nice.
I like, you know, LeBron makes an appearance every week one way or another. And I hate the guy, yet he finds his way onto the show through me. So
that's great. LeBron's greatness right
there. That is LeBron's greatness. It has nothing to do with his money.
No.
It has everything to do. But again, it's any publicity is good publicity.
That's right.
In the grand scheme of things. So
absolutely.
Well, we're not live, so I kind of feel like we're missing out on some people here.
Yeah, probably, but I
kind of forgot.
So if you want to wrap it up, like, I'm not going to be super mad, but if you want to talk about economics and LeBron James for another 5 minutes, like,
I do have some more ad read here for Lake City Hauling, and I think, you know, we could talk about Lucky Bird too.
Okay.
No, that's all right. They're great companies. We don't need
to shout
go
out to
again.
Lake City Hauling and Lucky Bird. We love you guys.
We do, and we'll talk more about them next week when we see you back here in the locker room. Should be on Thursday, as long as we don't get pushed out again. But I am Justin Reed alongside Andrew Tenney, and this is The Locker Room, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for watching The Locker Room on Spokane Talks. Check us out on Facebook as well as our other platforms. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation by emailing us at info@SpokaneTalksOnline.com. And for more sports news, opinions, and content, follow Justin and me on Twitter.